Hey, you want that to go?
Takeouts to go. Top stories we want you to stay on top of, and we're following them this week. We begin with Todd Zwillick down in Washington. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Let me just cough here and then say, in the poker game of healthcare reform, all right, I figure it stands about this way. I meet your Olympia Snow and raise you a Joe Lieberman. Is that what's going on here? Explain.
Well, trying to put him on the table. I'm not sure what the ante actually is in this whole game. Like, what was on the table to begin with?
Our health, and I'm losing mine.
I guess it was never actually clear. So, yeah, we've been talking about, John, we all know this, that Harry Reid has said he's going with the public option and has been looking for ways to round up his 60 votes to get the debate started or get the debate finished. You need 60 for these things in the Senate, and it was always about the moderate Democrats. So we're, you know, coalescing around people like Ben Nelson and Evan Bayh and Mary Landrieu and even Olympia Snowe. We've been talking about them. And yesterday afternoon around lunchtime, along comes Joe Lieberman, independent Democrat of Connecticut, and tosses a monkey wrench into the whole thing, tells a small group of reporters that he will vote to support a filibuster, a Republican filibuster, which is a sure thing, if the public option remains in the bill. I'm just opposed to it, and I will support the Republicans on a filibuster. Caught up with Lieberman shortly after he said this with the mic, and here is his justification. Listen to this.
If a government-created, government-run health insurance company is in the bill at the end, it will do all those things. It will increase taxpayer expenses, health insurance premium payer expenses, and increase the debt. And it's just not worth it.
It's his party, and he'll filibuster if he wants to, I guess is the idea there.
Yeah, you know, Lieberman is not a Democrat anymore. He does caucus with them and does support them on most domestic issues, not foreign policy issues, but not on this one. This is a problem for Harry Reid. You know, yet another senator he has to get. Now, Lieberman says he will vote to get the debate started. He'll let Harry Reid get this vote onto the floor. But if after all of the several weeks of amendments, the public option is still in there, he will vote with the Republicans to not let the debate end.
And so Majority Leader Harry Reid is shaking in his boots, right?
Well, of course he's going to downplay this, you know, as we all came right at Reid yesterday and said, oh my God, Joe Lieberman's really messing this up for you, Mr. Leader, and he's downplaying it. So listen to Reid on this.
He will work with us when this gets on the floor, and I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to do in the way of amendments, but Joe Lieberman is the least of Harry Reid's problems.
Little acid tongue there.
Yeah. Well, he's good at downplaying this. Right. A couple of facts really quick that are interesting on this. First of all, the insurance industry in Connecticut, Joe Lieberman has tens of thousands of insurance company employees in his state. He says that's not what this is about. This is about the deficit. And also, you know, remember, Lieberman left the Democratic Party in the first place because of the left hammering him over his support for George Bush on the Iraq War. He lost his primary
and had to run
as an independent. Yeah, well, if you think the left came at him hard on the Iraq War, wait for the blogs to come after him now, because he's trying to tank the public option.
Stay tuned.
Furious.
We will. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
And now we'll go to business with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times. So, Louise, our friend Barmy Frank came out and announced this new plan that I guess is them learning from the Lehman Brothers mistake, right? They're going to be able in the future to be able to step in sooner for troubled banks.
Morning. Yes. You remember last year, Bernanke and Hank Paulson, two of the most powerful people in the world, telling us all, we don't have the power to take care of Lehman. It was actually, I remember many of us sort of chuckling, like, what do you mean you don't have the power? Yeah. You're the most powerful people in our economy.
Right.
But they said they didn't have the statutory authority. And that's what they're being given here. It's kind of a death panel for the banks. You know, we've talked about the death panel on healthcare.
And they're taking when to remove lives.
Right, do we pull the plug? But that is really my question. Do they pull the plug? When we have one of these big institutions that gets into trouble, now they'll have the power to go in and take them over. And this also does not prohibit them from using Treasury money to help. Will they really unwind them? I don't know.
But the argument was that without this particular piece of this plan, the rest of the reforms in the banking industry don't work.
That's right. I mean, most people agree that some death panel power is needed. The question is, what do they do when they get in there? Do they unwind the companies, or do they let them hobble along, you know, a lot of people are saying that some of the big banks right now with taxpayer money are just hobbling around, hobbling along. There's another one in the news, you know, GMAC.
Right. We just talked about that.
We were talking about that.
But they're getting another bailout.
GMAC is obviously the financial arm, the General Motors. They're getting another bailout because, and what is the reasoning here? They're still in trouble. We already own a third of this company, do we not?
So
the taxpayers?
Yes, we own more than a third. GMAC provides auto loans that help people across the country buy cars. Also, GMAC is one of the most important dealer financing companies. Mm. That means they lend money to dealers to get the cars on their lots. Without GMAC, a lot of people feel that our auto industry would fall even further than it's already fallen. But the thing is, this is the third bailout. They're the only company to get three bailouts. I was kind of thinking, you know, that GMAC has the hedge fund Cerberus. You know, they're a hedge fund in New York. They have a significant stake in GMAC. And Cerberus, the name comes from the three-headed
dog
that guards the
gates
of hell. So I thought,
well,
now we've got a three-headed bailout.
Yeah, you're running out of heads.
Thanks
there.
So
yes.
Much, Louis. Louis' story is a finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times.
And one more takeout coming from you, our listeners. We spoke yesterday about green initiatives generating new jobs. Do you remember?
The number of green jobs has grown by about 9%, while jobs broadly have grown about 3%.
That's Bracken Hendricks, who's an architect of clean energy portions of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Well, a listener in Massachusetts took some issue with him.
The paradox is, if you're a really good green entrepreneur or green engineer, you want to make your green product affordable. That means using as little as possible labor and material.
And at thetakeaway.org, there's a bit of a gender war going on.
Sparked
by our conversation. I'm not kidding you. It's sparked by the conversation we had with Lisa Belkin, our contributor earlier this week, about children taking on household chores.
After all these years of telling boys and girls that they were the same, the boys are still mowing the lawn and the girls are still doing the dishes, by broad generalization.
Well, Emissy writes us this theory. Women tend to do more housework because they are more obsessive about neatness and cleanliness than guys tend to be. Exhibit A, hold on to your seats, folks. The toilet seat, women want it left down, so it must be left down. No negotiation, no compromise. This is how it must be.
Forget the toilet seat. I take issue with the women are obsessive about neatness. Katia responded, not all women are more obsessive about cleaning. When it comes to making a dwelling acceptable, everyone should pitch in, regardless if they care that the dust bunnies have built a fortress in the bathroom or the dirty underwear has accumulated on the floor for a week and is making the bedroom stink.
Is Amy Winehouse obsessive about cleanliness? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Courtney Love.
Anita tweets us, I always had to clear out the dishwasher. That's all she said, so it's hard to tell if she's complaining there or just stating that as a fact. But
we're glad you
anyway,
share,
keep
Anita.
The debate coming at thetakeaway.org.